This is David with Correll Trainer.
This is Cassie Green from Apparelist.
This is Gordon and Firemark from the Entertainment Law Update.
And you're listening to
Two Regular Guys Podcast.
Hosted by
Terry Combs RG, Regular Guy,
and Aaron Montgomery.
The place to be for industry news.
The best dad jokes on earth, along with relevant topics to apparel decorators.
So pass it away.
All right, welcome to the show. It is Friday, March 1st, 2024. I'm Terry Combs, and you can find me at terrycombs.com. And Aaron, I think I'm going to ask 2024 to pump the brakes a little bit. March 1st, come on.
Crazy, huh? Well, hello. This is Aaron Montgomery with our Success Group. And as you can tell, if you are watching the live, I am not in my home studio. I am sitting here with my good friend Sean Stewart with American Print and Supply. And we're going to walk you through this amazing facility that they've got here today. So, Terry, I'm excited to do this. We're doing something that we've not done before. So technical difficulties will reign supreme. So just enjoy and enjoy the show, right?
We'll get through it.
And Sean and I got plenty of things to talk about. Terry, you will keep us on target, would you please?
I will do that. And I'm anxious to have you be the one to try this first. I'm going to be just like the regulars. I'm just going to be sitting here watching, listening.
That's right. Well, we're going to have a good time. And like I said, there's some amazing, cool stuff. You can see we're sitting in the print lab right now. And so we're going to get to see some of these printers and talk about what they do and how they do it. And just kind of give you guys an overview of the digital printing landscape, what that looks like. These guys kind of have their arms around all of it is the way I kind of look at it here. If it's a digital technology, they're kind of doing it here. It seems like, Sean, does that sound correct?
Doing it or have done it in the past. So we'll talk about the evolution of the technology as well.
Yeah, for sure. So gonna be fun, Terry. But
all right. Well, make sure you stay till the very end and get your helping of the secret sauce. Eric's going to talk to us today about finding and presenting your unique value proposition.
Awesome. All right. Well, we do also have Cassie Green from the Apparelist here to join us and bring us some news. So if you guys are ready, we can dive right into that if that sounds good.
All right. Let's hear from Cassie.
Good morning, everybody. What an exciting show to be a part of. Cannot wait to also stick around and watch how everything happens. Headlines for all you regulators this morning. Let's start with the first one. HanesBrands sets champion bidding at $1.4 billion. So HanesBrands Inc. indicated toward the end of last year, end of 2023, that it would sell its champion brand. At the time, there were a few interested parties, such as WHP Global and Authentic Brands Group. Now, just a little over 3 months later, word on the street is that Hanes is ready to start the bidding at about $1.4 billion. According to multiple sources, Hanes hired Goldman Sachs and Evercore to look into the possibilities of offloading the champion brand, now leading to a deadline on first round bids. And that deadline was set for sometime this week. It was a little bit unclear when we put this story together. That $1.4 billion figure is close to what WWD reported as HanesBrands' entire market capitalization, around $1.6 billion. Hanes ended last year with a net debt of $3.1 billion, so that sort of cash injection would go a long way for the storied apparel brand. Second headline for everybody this morning, Image Apparel Solutions announces exclusive partnership with Greatness Wins. This story is near and dear to my heart because Tim Kelleher of Image Apparel Solutions serves on our Apparelist Advisory Board, and he does excellent work within the athletic wear market. So IAS, Image Apparel Solutions, announced the exclusive partnership with Greatness Wins to decorate and distribute its line of athletic apparel to professional and collegiate athletic programs nationwide. Since June of 2022, when UNTUCKit founder Chris Rico Bono, Derek Jeter, and American Ballet Theater principal dancer Misty Copeland launched Greatness Wins, they have succeeded in producing apparel tailored to the modern athlete. A partnership with IAS brings together quality products, unique decorating capabilities, and a well-established distribution channel into the high-end athletics market. This is all according to a press release from IAS. Partnering with Greatness Wins quality product with Image Apparel Solutions, 30 plus years of experience in athletic apparel decoration and distribution provides a great new option for premier athletics organizations. By the way, I think Wayne Gretzky is also involved with Greatness Wins. So for all you hockey fans out there, that's a really fun connection. Final headline this morning, Sustainable Apparel Coalition rebrands as Coscale. So the Sustainable Apparel Coalition, or SAC, announced the rebrand, now called Coscale. The global nonprofit alliance still aims to, quote, drive equitable and restorative business practices in the consumer goods industry, unquote. The alliance explains the name change as follows. The CAS in Coscale is SAC reversed, while CA refers to collective action and scale references scaled ambitions. The C in Coscale evokes a new phase similar to lunar cycles in nature, as well as moonlight or a mirrored reflection. The logo's elements symbolize the organization's three member categories and external stakeholders, all critical players in advancing the unified strategy announced in September of 2023. While the alliance highlights expansion beyond fashion as a reason for the Coscale rebrand, Sarah Kent, who is the chief sustainability correspondent at Business of Fashion, claims it also distances SAC from a 2022 greenwashing scandal involving its Higgs sustainability tool. A lot more details about that, so I encourage everybody to go to apparelist.com and get the full story. That's everything I got today, guys. Looking forward to the rest of the show.
All right. Well, you know, I had my opening bid. I was putting my money together for that champion bid, and I guess I'm already out.
That's not in the piggy bank there. It's not stuck in the couch.
Hayes outbid me by $1,300,000,087
and some change. Yeah. All right. Well, Terry, we also have one other thing that we always are kind of do here on the Two Regular Guys, and that's the dad joke, right? We have to live up to that. So I've got one now. As I was thinking about this, I wonder if we've done this before, but you know what? We're gonna do it anyhow. So
I think you're good. I don't recognize it. I was reading ahead, so I think you're good. Okay. Let's hear an Aaron Montgomery dad joke.
Here we go. Sorry, I got to put up with this, Sean, but this is part of what we do. All right, Terry. Yeah, two guys, they walked into a bar. The third guy, he ducked.
That's a dad joke for sure, man.
Yeah, we got the thumbs down from Eric. So, all right.
I think I'm going to save us next week. I've got a pretty darn good one. So,
all right. I can't wait. All right, Terry. Well, good morning to Chuck coming to us from sunny Central Florida, he says, and we've got Rena checking in. Good morning. And good morning to Marianne from MAS Embroidery in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And good morning to those that are tuned in on Facebook. Apparently, I chose the wrong Facebook page. So we've got that right now, and we're all good. But appreciate everybody.
I just got a message that YouTube is running as well. So,
all right. There we go. So, Terry, let's dive in. We've got Sean here, and we're going to... I think let's just start with asking him some questions, Terry. Does that sound like a good plan to you?
Okay, I'm going to skip ahead. But hey, by the way, if anybody has an idea for a show, we'd love to hear from you. Calendly.com/2, the number 2, regular guys. Or you can email us at info@2regularguys.com. And we're going to try our best also to answer your questions as we go along here today. So, yeah, let's talk to Sean. And I think first, though, hey, Sean, we used to do bios. I think the last time we were on the show, we read your little bio, and we don't do that anymore. What we want you to do is just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you found yourself in the industry.
Yeah, I actually, I was bartending.
That's the option number 2. Number 1 is I was in a band.
I actually moved down to Oklahoma from Chicago back in, 2003. and worked for a small company called The Paper Inch. That's kind of why I wanted to go through the evolution of the transfer technology, because when I started out, it was in the days of print, cut, weed, mask, apply to make a transfer for a cotton shirt. What a nightmare, right? So kind of fun to go through all that. I've been in the industry about 20 years now, all digital. Never got into screen printing, but I'll never say anything bad about it. I don't believe the digital technology is in a place where you never say never, right? It may down the line, but screen printing is still screen printing. I'm all digital. I always have been. Started out with the small format, desktop, die sub, stuff like that. Grew into 24, all the way up to cut and sew, which we'll get into a little bit more a little later on, because we do in our facility have a big laser cutter, roll press, all that fun stuff. So just been in the digital side of it since the beginning and real excited at where it's going. So the evolution's been a lot of fun to watch and excited to talk to you guys about it.
Fantastic.
Awesome. Yeah. So those of you guys that are tuned in live right now, yeah, please feel free to ask your question. Sean is a fantastic educator and really can help us dig into some different things and stuff like that. But you mentioned this already, Sean. What give us that evolution, you know, where you started, right? You know,
well, quite literally, it was the transfer paper, because it was a company called The Paper Ranch. And so we were selling boxes of dark and light transfer paper, the small format sublimation systems through Sawgrass back in the day. You know, the evolution from there forward, we've gotten white toner laser printers so that you didn't have to weed, because the weeding, giving you carpal tunnel, wasn't something you necessarily wanted to have to do for every single transfer. You know, and that was nice. And then it's gotten better. DTG came out, very exciting technology. It has its pitfalls and shortcomings. I was actually with the company selling the white toner printing systems when DTF was introduced. Ended up taking some PTO to go out and check it out at a trade show. And that's how I ended up landing where I'm sitting.
So, you know, people might be listening to this.
Yeah, but, I'm sure right. that, you know, listen, I don't pull punches. If you've known me, like Aaron has 20 years, we played in the same sandbox and there's enough sand for everybody.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to ruin anybody. There's, you know, there's a tool for every job. There's the right tool for every job.
So. Yeah. 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 Jay Bissell says, I remember The Paper Ranch.
Yeah.
And Nick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So. Nick and I are still, we still do play in the same sandbox. There we actually work with the wide format sublimation stuff as well. So definitely get to play there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. Let's talk about this. And Terry, I apologize. I'm just going to keep taking over. But you talk about those old school transfers, right? And the die sub desktop systems. And what was the limitations there, right? What caused that to be something that we have transitioned from more so into what you guys might see behind us and what we're going to see out there?
Well, I mean, the workflow, if you're looking at the transfers when we were doing print, cut, weed, mask, apply for a dark garment, that's a lot of steps to do a single shirt. So not very cost effective. If you messed up, you got to throw away an expensive piece of paper. Then you got to go back in. Again, having to weed and mask, it was a lot of steps. So as soon as we got to a place where we could get away from weeding, I used to teach people how to use vinyl cutters. And I would always use a stencil font or an open font so I could just peel the thing away. Yeah. And they'd be like, how come I'm having to go in with a dental pick? Because I'm teaching and I know what I'm doing here. So I use a stencil font. You know, so once we got to a place where that was no longer necessary, it made it a lot more cost effective and user friendly, in my opinion, in the end. The white toner printing systems are still out there. People are still using them. They're decent enough, but it's more of a very, very short run solution. You want to look at something with a lot of maintenance, you're going to look at the inkjet systems. And if you want to look at something with none, you're going to look at a powder system. But if you want to look at the end result, the transfers that go onto a shirt using a white toner printer, your cost, it's not very cost effective. Especially if you mess up a sheet, you got $4.17 sheet, mess one up, it's an $8 transfer going on a shirt, you know, and there's a lot of finicky, not very user-friendly in the end, because if your press isn't perfect, you're not getting perfect even heat, you know, the peel won't work. So those things have been transitioned a lot of cases over to doing window clings and things of that nature, because it's just print it, peel it, stick it type thing, right?
So, yeah.
But in the textile world, when you're looking at direct-to-garment or DTF, these are printing borderless, nice hand, great feel, very easy to do. The DTF stuff, if you buy a good commercial system and have the right training, you know, you're off and running and your cost is very low. It's very cost-effective and bridging the gap for those screen printers, right? Screen printers aren't going to do You know, you clear your screens on a six-color job, someone comes in and asks for three more shirts, you're not going to burn more screens, or you're going to charge them $75 a shirt, right? So the DTF market has really kind of opened up that short-run solution to all those screen print shops, which is really nice.
Yeah.
And again, Terry, the DTG stuff is not something that's obsolete. It's obviously still there, and it's still going to work beautifully in those systems. So.
Well, here's what I'm hearing, Sean. Weeding is bad because you've said it like three times already.
Well, just like when I was doing tile and I was laying floor, I wanted to save my knees for skiing. I want to save my wrists for other things. I don't need carpal tunnel from weeding. And again, that's why when I would teach somebody, I would always use a stencil font or something open so I could just pull away the excess. You know,
if you're doing a seminar,
I was teaching at Daxtery, I asked people in my class weeding. And people actually raise their hand.
Well, I mean, that's therapy.
No,
it's cheaper than a therapist.
I've heard that before. Yeah. That's just lying to yourself. But, you know, Sean, and direct-to-film has taken the industry by storm over the last 3 or 4 years. And talk to us a little bit about the benefits of direct-to-film transfers and how it's a cost-effective and viable transfer solution.
Sure, yeah. The DTF systems, the really nice thing about them that really sets them apart, in my opinion, from the other technologies for creating transfers is a shop that does their own finished garments can absolutely use the DTF system, but they can also take the opportunity to sell transfers. So where a DTG, you're putting directly on the garment, that garment is done at that point. So if I wanted to sell transfers, I'm not going to use a DTG unless I'm repurposing, printing on a film, powdering it, and selling DTF transfers using my DTG. So the cost effectiveness, when we're running liters of ink on these things, you're under $1 a square foot full coverage. So you can get a whole lot of output out of a little bit of ink and film and powder. Also, all the systems, I mean, they're available on the desktop format. We tend to stay away and shy away from that only because of, I mean, if they're not built robust enough to take the viscosity of the ink, you're going to see a lot of issues. People buy those printers and they're like, oh, I got a problem with it. I tell them, throw it away and buy a new one, or buy a big commercial industrial system that's actually going to last, that's built to take the viscosity of the ink, has the wide junction. Everything is right. Dampers, print heads are good, robust print heads. You know, 99% of what we run is running the 3200 print head, which is a great print head, a lot of nozzles, good output, and it's robust enough. If you're taught, you need to be making sure that you're taught how to do the preventative maintenance, how to do all of the things that you would on any inkjet printer, really. I mean, inkjet printers are inkjet printers. Water's water. I used to live in the desert, Terry. You and I took a lot of the same flights out of the desert for a lot of these shows. Well, what happens with a glass of water in the desert? You leave it on the counter for a week, it evaporates, right? Well, any aqueous or water-based ink has those same principles. And what happens when it evaporates? It leaves those pigments behind, which is like goo or glue or boogers. We don't want those in our printers. We don't want them going into the dampers and in our print heads. So there's preventative maintenance. But as far as cost-effective, under $1 for a full coverage square foot of printing, it's a very cost-effective way to get it done.
But I think you have to know who you are and what you want to accomplish as well, because somebody that's doing 20 transfers a day doesn't need a 24-inch wide DTF printer. And on the flip side, you know, somebody that's selling more and more DTF transfers, at some point they say, you know what, this is no longer efficient. This worked great for me when I was experimenting with DTF, and now I've got to expand my capabilities, my speed, and lower my costs by using a larger machine. So you have to kind of be a little introspective about, you know, what do I want to do? Where do I want to be this time next year and 5 years from now?
Yeah, and I think that's Aaron and I, and you and I, we align exactly on that. That goes back to, I mean, growing right so that you sleep good at night. You know, if you're building that book of business, it's an easy mathematical equation. You look at what you've spent. You go, okay, well, how much would it cost for me if I was to go and lease it? What's my lease payment? Well, I'm paying 5 times that a month in transfers. I bring it in-house. How much money have I left on the table? It's easy math. So you can build your book of business by buying transfers. You know, you buy those transfers, build that book of business, justify it. Now you come in and you hit the ground running and you've justified that purchase, right? So,
yeah.
Well, and you know, I think it's a little easier with ETF because, you know, you're jobbing out screen printing or doing it yourself. Well, you know, by bringing it in-house, I'm saving 50 cents. With DTF, bringing it in-house, I'm saving $5.50 a transfer. So, you know, it's a little easier math, you know, that to see where that break-even point is to make that jump.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but like we've talked about here, right? There's a tool for everything, right? It's just, you know, knowing what tool, making those good decisions, but doing the math, right? Sometimes we get too close to it and we think, okay, we've got to do it this way, or somebody told me to do it this way, or whatever that case may be. Like I said, there's systems and your business is going to evolve, you know.
And it's also about, like Terry was saying, what gets you excited?
Yeah.
You know, what are you going to sell a lot of? That's the tool. The tool that does what you're going to be selling a lot of is probably the right tool for you to buy.
Yeah.
Now, transfers, like Terry is saying, it's such easy math. If you add that and it quickly grows, you may not have thought that was the most exciting thing for you. And then you look at the math and you go, oh, I better go ahead and hop in here because that's exciting. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Terry J says, don't leave your pigment boogers on the printer. So,
always good. Jay always has good advice for us. Some of it's better than others.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, so if you guys that are tuned in live again, you have questions for Sean, pop them in the chat, please. Let's make sure that we get all of your questions answered about digital technologies. Sean, have we kind of covered the transition, right? Like, so we're talking about a lot. When you talk about digital technologies, we're talking about a lot of different things here.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So in here, you guys are doing DTF transfers. Mm-hmm. You've got the equipment and supplies, but you're also doing laser.
Well, we're laser cutting. So we do cut and sew.
Thank you.
For the wide format sublimation, where you print, cut, sew it, you know, make the garment. So that's the full. We also have a big maxi press. So if you had a fully manufactured garment and you weren't ready to justify a purchase of a big roll press and get some seamstress, which good help is hard to find. So make sure if you're getting into cut and sew, you know, your aunt is a hell of a seamstress or something of that nature. But when we're taking, we want to segue from the small format sub into that bigger stuff. We have a big flat maxi press where you can take a fully manufactured garment, press it like that. So we have that equipment. Sitting next to you is an eco-solvent printer. So if we wanted to do banners, things like that, you want to do decals. Behind us over here is a big sublimation printer. That's what we use to actually print the transfers for the cut and sew stuff. So we have a lot going on here. The print lab's main focus is we've got four DTF printing systems, two head and 2 4 head sitting behind me, that we do a thing called print protection for our current customers. And then we also have Transfer Depot, which is what we use to help customers build that book of business to justify jumping into DTF.
Okay. So I want to slow down, break that down a little bit for folks that aren't familiar with that. So tell me about what print protection means.
So you buy a printing system, lightning strikes, right? Well, if lightning strikes and you don't have a printer that's working anymore, I can't have you lose that book of business. It's about that relationship.
Yeah.
I want that customer to build their book of business so that they can continue to buy ink, film, powder, these things, and growing. That's one of the most exciting parts of this industry, right? I mean, I think that's probably why we've got 20 years
in
is because we get to watch these customers truly grow.
Yeah.
And it's about the customer. I mean, if you get jazzed up the whole thing, I mean, like you're our success group thing. That's about seeing these people succeed. So we do our very best to try and set them up for that success. So with print protection, if you haven't bought a printer, you don't worry about that print protection. You go through Transfer Depot. We help you build that book of business. If you have bought a printer, we can protect you. You know, you're not going to be dead in the water. You're not going to be turning business away. If lightning does strike and you're dead in the water, you pick the phone up, you call us, we take care of you. That's why this isn't just a demo lab. It's a print lab to take care of those customers that are in those situations.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Terry, you got any other follow-up questions there?
Well, yeah, I didn't realize you were doing cut and sew there. So is that through the Print Depot or is that, you know,
that's actually American Print on Demand
company?
It's a separate entity. It's called American Print on Demand. So we have a print on demand site, which if people have a Shopify site, they can literally link right up to the back end of our APOD site, and they can put stuff up on their Shopify that the orders would then come direct to us. We would print, cut, sew, send it out to the customer, and it's all done. They don't have to touch it. So, and we'll get into that too. I'm actually going to make Aaron really uncomfortable by taking the camera and walking around the shop, because you know, as long as we're going to do it trial by fire, we're going to build a big fire. Right?
Yeah, so. we're gonna blow this thing up. All right. Well, hey, this has been awesome so far, Sean. I know we got a lot more to cover. We do want to kind of get on the move here and start showing people stuff again. If you guys have questions, pop them in there. We've got Crafties 915 saying greetings, Sean. So somebody you know, I'm assuming.
Yes. Awesome. Good morning.
Good morning. But Eric, can we run that promo about Fundamentals Live real quick, and we'll see how this goes afterwards.
Are you a small business that's feeling overwhelmed and underpaid? Do you want to find more balance and fulfillment in your small business?
We're here to share the good news about an upcoming small business retreat where you can come together as a community to facilitate falling in love with your business.
That's right. We're incredibly excited to announce the June 2024 Small Business Workshop and Retreat called Fundamentals Live. This event is based on the book, The Fundamentals of Business Success, and it's going to be your community designed to align your entrepreneurial spirit with meaningful success strategies.
Join us in O'Fallon, Missouri, just west of St. Louis, in discovering networking opportunities that go beyond mere connections. You're going to create relationships that inspire growth and collaboration.
With only 40 seats available, spots are already filling up. Don't miss out on your chance to transform yourself and your business June 7th and 8th in O'Fallon, Missouri.
Okay.
All right, I told you I was going to make him uncomfortable. Here we go.
Microphone.
All right, you guys can hear me well?
Perfect.
You should see Aaron right now. I wish I had another camera on him. This is hilarious. So let's just stand right here. You can aim that way. You can't really see the two-head that's over the corner so well. But we've got a two-head printer there. That's a DTF with a shaker dryer in front of it. This right here. So we've got, that's called the Son of the Gladiator, because the Gladiator is kind of our flagship system four-head, but that's a two-head. So this here is your Hawk. That's another two-head. Both of these are running i3200 print heads. So very robust systems. They've got inline filters to help with any of the sediment that may fall down, because we want to keep those print heads happy and running, right? So those are our two heads. And then back behind us here, this is our Gladiator four-head printing system. So this thing will run at 300 square feet an hour. So absolutely flies. And if you want to do some easy math, Terry, the rolls of film are 325 feet, 24 inch wide, 650 square feet, 650 square feet of printing in 2.5 hours. You can run 2-3 rolls and you should be making $1,000 a roll. So that'd be a good day if you could feed it that much printing, right?
That's good math.
So that's our Gladiator forehead. And then over here on the end, this is our UFO forehead. This is our brand new printing system. So this has kind of a set it and forget it. Comes with the print heads installed. You want to get in there? Aaron, you're doing a great job, man. You are a great cameraman. So this is a forehead, and the dryer has actually a scale in it to know exactly the right amount of powder, and it kicks on with sensors, so it keeps up with the speed of the printer. This is kind of a forehead that is more or less a set it and forget it. It's not... I mean, the Gladiator is going to smoke it as far as speed, but this is for those customers that don't necessarily want to pay for the on-site install. We can more or less remote install this forehead printing system. And this is what we were showing at the DAC show that we were just at in Kansas City. And then outside the print lab, you want to walk out here, yeah, watch out.
Hold on a second, though. I've got a quick question for Sean that I want him to answer. Okay. Is it just speed when it comes to two-head versus four-head?
It's speed and redundancy. That's a great question, actually. So a two-head printer, obviously, if you have a bad head strike, you're down. You're dead in the water. On a four-head, you can actually very easily switch it to a two-head and continue to run while you remedy the situation. So not only is it a bigger paintbrush because it's four heads, but it's also got some redundancy. So it is almost twice the speed
We do have some two heads that are running well over 100.5 as far as square footage. So right around twice the speed, but also the redundancy. So having that as a kind of fail safe, if you had a head strike on a Gladiator or UFO, you could very easily switch it to a two head and continue running. That's a great question.
Okay. All right. Terry, do you have any other questions?
Yeah. So on your two head and four head, are you having any other configurations? I'm hearing out in the industry about three head machines or machines that have double input on their on a one head, or I'm sorry, on a two head with like double CMYK. Are you guys doing anything like that? Do you have any comments about that?
Yeah, both of the forehead systems are actually set up with that configuration because the redundancy is there then. So it's dual CMYK and then dual white. So they're both running two white heads and two CMYK heads. There are other configurations, like we've got a UV. So the UV DTF is then another new hot thing that everybody's excited about. You want to do some drinkware. You want to do some stuff that doesn't go in the heat press, isn't a textile. You can use UV. The system we have on the 24-inch UV is actually a three-head because it's running CMYK, white, and varnish. So we do have a number of different configurations. CMYK times two and white times two is the most effective and fastest for the DTF world currently.
Hey Sean, also on those UVs for glassware, that sort of thing, what kind of washability is there? Or does it depend on the system you're using that has better washability or...
I mean, it's also so it's almost like when we were talking about transfer versus sublimation going to drinkware. I would tell people on a transfer, you know, it's not really, you can do a top shelf residential dishwasher, cannot sell it to a bar because they use 450 degree high pressure water and that transfer will come right off.
Gotcha.
So as far as durability, it's great. I think the automotive world is great for it. Because, you know, every dealership wants their name on the vehicle they sell, right? And they want it to be a pain in the butt to get off. Well, that adhesive is a great, strong adhesive. So you can certainly use UV in those aspects. And on drinkware, it's great. If you really like it, most of these people are using it on thermoses and things like that. Well, hand wash it and it'll be on there forever.
Okay.
Put it in the dishwasher, you run a risk. If you put too high a heat on it, that heat actually activates the adhesive and it'll come right off. That's also how you remove it. Throw a little heat to it and you can get those decals off.
Well, I'm hearing a lot of buzz about UV in the industry, kind of like we heard a couple of years ago about DTF. So I'm sure you guys are hearing the same thing.
Yeah, we have a 17 and a 24-inch platform. The 17, people have been jumping in, I mean, cannonballing into the deep end on that stuff because it is, like you said, just like the hype behind DTF in the beginning now is also the same feeling that we have with the UV stuff. So
yeah,
we're really excited about it.
We can see the machine.
Yeah, you want to take a walk? We're gonna make Aaron uncomfortable again. Take a walk out.
I'm trying not to make everybody sick. Sorry. Knock on the door. Okay. Is this it?
Yep.
Hey, Sean, am I correct? You guys are in East Peoria, Illinois? Is that...
That is correct. We're in East Peoria, Illinois. We have all this stuff set up here. You're going to see a whole lot more behind us, too, once we get set up. Aaron's got to continue moving around for a minute, though. So if you can see here, this is actually a three-head. So that's running CMYK, white, and then a varnish. And that has UV lamps, four of them. Two on each side of the print carriage, if you can see that. I have the whole guard off on it so you can see everything going on in there.
Hey Sean, when I hear the term varnish, I cringe a little bit about head clog. Is that a concern? Is that something you guys have dealt with?
Well, our main concern was actually with the glue. The varnish hasn't been an issue at all.
Okay.
The heat lamps aren't actually hitting it. So actually, if you take a look in here, when I was setting this thing up initially, we weren't 100%. If you look at the capping stations in here, you can see if your lamps are going too far over, it actually cures that stuff and it'll harden. But once you have your lamp set properly, none of that stuff is actually going to harden until the lights hit it. Does that make sense? So as far as the maintenance on a UV, it's a whole lot lower than you would consider on like a DTF system, because that glue or the ink, the white, none of that stuff is hardening without the lamps actually hitting it.
Got it. Okay.
So they're actually considerably lower maintenance.
That's interesting.
Yeah. All right. Where are we going now, Sean?
We're gonna set up right here with the laser behind us. Okay. So
we're gonna
figure out. Yeah, we're dancing here for you guys. You didn't know you're gonna get a dance class, did you?
Perfect. We are
kind of.
Not completely back in action. All right, so we're sitting down out in the shop now out here. So how we doing? We make anybody sick yet?
You're all good. You're all good. You send everybody on break. Okay, we're coming out. Everybody scatter, right?
Pretty much. Yeah, they did shut everything down for us, so there wasn't too much noise and whatnot. But yeah, we're doing good here. So. There goes the compressor. So yeah, there we go.
Right on time. As soon as
right on time. All right. So, okay. We covered that stuff. Terry, we're going to shift gears into sublimation now. Are you ready for that?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. This is your area.
My area. I love it. All right. Well, let's talk about sublimation, right? We did talk about that a little bit already, kind of the small format, right? Going into that. But if people want to do apparel, small format, you know, I sold a lot of sublimation systems in my day too. And I very rarely sold it to somebody that was doing apparel as their main thrust of business. Right. Yeah. And we're going to go back and look at it here shortly, but, you know, why is that such a challenge for people to do apparel with a small format system? And why would you want to look at something?
I mean, some of the issues when you're talking, like, it's got to be a high poly content, right?
So yep,
if you've got 100% polyester has a memory. Yeah, I think we did the embracing the mayhem or whatever, talking about when people are taking and you press a transfer to a polyester shirt, polyester has a memory, put too much pressure and you have the outline of the transfer and it ain't going anywhere.
Yeah.
So we kind of worked on embracing that and making it actually look like a starburst, or give that another element to it. So when they were pressing it, they weren't worried about taking and making a plateau to raise up the area. So the edges of the sheet weren't seeing it. But people also, I mean, when we're talking about 100% polyester garments, we're paying a lot for a garment. In the cut and sew world, you can buy fabric, you can print on it, cut it apart, sew it together, have seamless dye sublimation. People that were taking and getting into dye sub with garments, going, all right, I want to do all over printing, the segue from desktop to cut and sew was buying like the big flat, like a maxi press, things like that. Right?
And I think that's, you know, to me, what I always saw, and you know, same thing, because, you know, we can get a 16 by 20 press, a decent one, what, $1,500, maybe
two grand.
Okay. I'm out of it nowadays, so I don't. Back in my day, kids, we only spent.
Well, it depends what you buy.
Yeah. No, but a good one. So about $2,000 for a good one. But the jump to something that can handle wide format, it's not like you're, you know, $5,000. You know, I mean, you're spending what, 15 minimum?
15 probably. Minimum for a big, you know, 44, 64. Like,
I think that maxi's probably in that 15 to 20.
That's 15 to 20 grand there.
Yeah. So,
your problem there is if you take. Go ahead, Terry.
Oh, I was just going to say, that's the shocker for people when they've been doing desktop sublimation. Now I want to do bigger and bigger. And then all of a sudden, it's like the cost of the heat press zooms past the cost of the sublimation printer when your major cost is now that big, large format heat press.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you're buying a big flat press like that, you need to find yourself a garment that's not going to have a bunch of fold over, or embrace that fold over. You know, all the armpits, we've actually got some shirts that were made to lay flat, because that was where this whole thing started, was doing all over printing on a big giant flat press, which we'll show you here in a few minutes. But then you've got, all right, my armpit areas are going to have fold over. You're not going to have one shirt, or you're only going to have one shirt. That's to say, you're not going to be able to make a whole bunch of the same thing, because everyone's going to fold just slightly different. You'll have little things. People embraced it. People like that. And we've got a ton of it. I mean, it's hanging. We'll show you guys that stuff as well. But then growing from there to do it right, people were actually taking those giant presses and trying to print the panels and cut them apart and sew them together. Well, the right way to do that is to use a roll press. So we actually have a roll press here. We'll show you guys that as well. You can take and run the fabric through it, then put it through a big laser, which is actually what's sitting behind us. And the laser will go through and cut those panels of fabric out for you. And then you just have to have some good sewers, which we happen to have some good sewers.
Yeah, because Terry, I think that's the next transition for folks when it comes to this, right? It's like, okay, I don't want the creases under the arms or in the collars. And I call them smiles because you can't sell a blemish, right? So you don't want the smiles, right? So how do we get it? And cut and sew is the trick. But that's also a trick, right? Because sewing is a skill. It's absolutely a talent, and you got to have good ones to do that, right? You can't just go buy a home sewing machine and expect to be able to start doing cut and sew jerseys, right? So,
yeah.
All right. So where do we want to head from here?
Hey, let me ask a quick question. When I think cut and sew, I think uniforms. Is that the bulk of what you guys do, or is it just all over the board?
I mean, we do a lot of the team sports stuff, uniforms. Yes. We also do, you know, like bass fishing, that stuff, tournaments, things like that.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
All of that stuff is all cut and sew, but everything from motocross, paintball jerseys, all of that stuff can be done. Yoga pants are really big.
I mean, okay.
People love their yoga pants. Personally, and you'd hate to see me in them, but we do. And people love
it. You guys do special runs for Dane Clement and Charlie Taublieb. Because sublimation shirts are pretty much all they wear.
Listen, Charlie's one of the best dressed on every trade show floor I've ever seen him on. But he's never wearing the technology that he's selling.
Just like Terry. Yeah. Well, you know, the other thing too, Terry, that gets cut and sewn a lot that people don't think about are the baby goods, you know, onesies. Oh. Yep, there we go. Baby products right there.
Yeah, swaddles,
blankets.
I mean, and those are simple for you take and you throw it in the roll press and it comes out done.
Yeah.
You know, 30 years ago, I was doing thousands and thousands and thousands of pairs of boxer shorts with collegiate logos all cut and sew.
I didn't hear that.
So, except for it wasn't sublimation. We were printing water-based zinc on cotton because, you know, nobody wants polyester. Boxer shorts.
No,
they don't.
They do not. Yeah. So all those things. And here's another product that people don't probably think about that are, to me, always way better sewn is a can cooler. We can say koozie, but we probably get in trouble. So I didn't just say koozie, but
twice.
It is a trademark brand.
A can cooler. If you try to sublimate those flat, turn out flat. The can is not flat. So if you were to sublimate and then sew them afterwards. Yep, that's right. All right. So Sean, you owe Seth a Philly. I don't know if you knew that.
I knew that.
Okay. All right.
I got to buy the kid a sandwich about every other day here.
Gotcha.
He's a good kid though, man. He takes good care of us.
So. All right. Good. All right. So we've got that. I guess, do we want to get on the road here again, or what do you want to do?
I think we walk around, kind of show them what we've been talking about a little bit and come back and we'll get to answer any questions that are left.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jerry, you got any other questions, or you guys that are listening live got questions for us? Okay. All right. Well, we're going to do our best here and we will here we go. So Terry, talk us through this here.
Okay. Let's go on the road. In fact, where are we headed?
Did we lose him?
I guess it will be a surprise for all of us, but I love seeing people's shops, you know,
where are we going to head first?
Well, first I thought we'd walk over and take a look at the laser right here behind us.
Okay.
And then we'll walk over to the Maxi. We'll show them the roll press.
What are we looking at?
So this is a golden laser. This is a laser that actually, after it comes off of the roll press, we feed the fabric into the laser. And the laser will take and cut out all of those panels of fabric so we can deliver them to the sewer, and they know exactly what to do with them at that point. I don't, but they've got all the right panels in there to actually create a finished garment.
Okay. Hey, so hey, Sean, is that cutting individual Sean, is that cutting individual panels, or could you stack that fabric and cut it as well?
The question is that cutting individual panels?
Yes. Yeah. So if you get in here, you can actually see the individual panels, the sleeves, all that is right there set up. So we have patterns that we take and set up. So on the APOD site, we actually have templates, patterns, things that you can go in, you can create your own artwork, comes to us print ready, and then print it, cut it, sew it together. So.
Okay.
Okay. Where are we going next?
All right. So that is our laser. That's actually doing the cutting for us. Come this way. There's some shirts. You can take a look at the garments that are hanging on the rack there quick.
You want to go through any of these real quick?
Yeah. I mean, these are hoodies. So hoodies, t-shirts, any of this stuff. And you can see, obviously, because it's cut and sew, you see none of the, what did you call them?
Smiles.
Smiles. Yeah, none of the smiles there because we're actually manufacturing the garment.
That's some positivity marketing, calling them smiles.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And I also really like this part, Sean. If you tell them, like, just the fact that you've got this, just
yeah, we can actually do it's tagless, so you can print that on the actual collar. So when it's sewn together, they already have their tag in there.
Love it.
All right. Very nice.
All right. Well, since we were talking about it, we'll just show him the maxi press. So in the beginning, when he wanted to get in and do all the all over printing, we could do it on this big flat press. This is what we were just talking about, is that's where the press goes right past the cost of the printing system, Terry. So that's a Geonite maxi press, Air Auto, 44 by 64. So you can lay the shirt on there, press one side, take it out, flip it, press the other. And then if you turn around right here, this is a Praktiks roll press. So this, you actually take the bulk fabric with the transfer, feed it through the roll press, and it comes out in the panels that you saw on the laser. So that's actually how we get the bulk fabric printed to then take and run it through the laser cutter cut, which then if you want to turn around and just kind of aim at the sewing area, we're not allowed in there. If we walk in there, we get into big trouble because we touch one of these threads and we're in big trouble. They've got it set exactly the way they like it, but that is our sewing area. So that's where after it goes, it gets cut, we bring it into the sew area, they sew it together, and then you've got your finished manufactured garment.
Okay. Where to next?
Let's just go back and sit back down, take any questions and... Oh, how's it going, Terry? What do you think of the moving? I'm getting a little sick looking at the camera. I hope no one else is getting any of that.
It's not as bad as you guys think. We're all good.
All right, good.
We're getting the gentle move of the camera. So,
well, let's show them the small stuff too, just for knocking out the DTF transfers and everything. Yep. Do we want to get Luna in here too?
Yeah, sure.
There's the shop dog, Luna. She's very persistent. All right.
You've got to have a shop dog.
Shop dogs are important. It's good for the morale. Everybody needs a shop dog. So this is our little area where we take and we'll actually knock out some of the DTF transfers, things like that, because not only does APOD do the cut and sew on-demand printing, we can also offer finished manufactured garments using the DTF. So,
okay. Where's next?
You want to sit there or there? Where do you want to finish this thing out?
Let's go back in here. We can just set it on
one of the printers. Okay. All right. Let's go on top of the Gladiator dryer over here.
We're racing here. All right. Terry, ask Sean some other questions if you got one real quick.
Well, I was just going to say, needless to say, that's the business is quite varied, from selling printing systems to transfers to finished goods. I honestly, I didn't realize that your business was so all encompassing as that.
Well, yeah. And you know, that's part of the reason why I ended up where I did, just because it's easier to justify growth into these different things if you have someone help build that book of business and that segue. And I've always been telling people this,
there's a tool for every job, right? Well, you're not going to buy every single tool. You want to be able to say yes to your customer and provide that output without making that, you know, that purchase right out the gate to determine whether you can justify that purchase. So we offer a lot of those services to help people build that book.
You know, when I was starting out in screen printing, right, and I had one and two manual presses, did I have on my price sheet that you could order 10,000 pieces? Heck yeah. Did I print those myself? Absolutely not. So, you know, so your company can offer a lot of things that you don't necessarily do in-house. And it's so much easier today than it was even 20 years ago.
Yeah. And I mean, having partners like that is what makes a business successful, because you turn around and say no to somebody, he goes down the street to the wrestling coach who has a screen print press and has a little more hustle in his bustle. That guy's going to find somebody to outsource that stuff to, and you may have lost that customer. So you want to say yes to your customers as often as possible, right?
Yeah. Hey Sean, DTF, has it impacted any outside of cut and sew? Do you think it's impacted sublimation at all?
I think they're different animals. I mean, they really are. I think in the drinkware world, even if, with the UV stuff, I still think if you want to do a nice colorful mug, dye sublimation is still the way to go. I mean, cut and sew, we're doing jerseys. We're doing the rash guards for MMA stuff. You know, all of that stuff is high poly or 100% polyester content. Can you do DTF on it? Sure. But is it going to have the zero hand, zero feel that sublimation does? No, it's not. So I think they're just added tools for the tool chest, really, Terry.
Well, I agree with you. I think that as well, because, you know, 20 years ago, people even, and Sean, you know, Scott Fresner from US Screen, but here in Phoenix, years ago, he was telling people, well, screen printing is going to be gone in 2 to 3 years because of DTG. And then white toner is going to replace DTG, and DTF is going to replace everything. And I always just shake my head going, no, that's not true. That's not going to happen.
as much as I'd like to say DTF is going to replace screen printing, let's be honest. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. The reality is, I mean, never say never. Who knows what technology you'll do in 10 years. But right now, absolutely not. It's a short run solution, and it's a great tool to have in your tool chest if you're a screen printer, because like I said earlier, if you have somebody come back that wants 6 more shirts and you already cleared the screens, you don't want to have to burn them again. You go ahead and hit print on your digital output system and you're good to go. Right. So,
yeah. Well, and I think it's interesting. Like I said, that stuff's not going to go away. I mean, heck, look at just like regular paper printing. It's kind of coming back into vogue because, you know, people stopped doing it. And now that, you know, there's still that nostalgia that, oh, I do want, you know, that thing in my hand potentially or something like that. So, yeah, I think there's a lot there. So David Haynes, thank you for joining us. Appreciate you showing up, even though it's late. So come on, David.
And then he's in a meeting. He's good.
He's in a meeting. Okay. And then Brian here says, love the tour. Thank you. I owned a cut and sew soft goods shop in the 90s. Bring back so many memories. So I love it.
Brian, you didn't say good memories. You just said memories. So I don't know if you want to clarify that. Or
Yeah.
Here, take a question.
Yep. Okay. All right. Well, let us know what other questions you guys have. And thank you very much. Appreciate you guys tuning in for that. But again, yeah, if there's questions. Okay. All right.
While this was all going on, Aaron, we thought we'd make something nice for you.
Oh man, they made me something.
What a guy, what a
all
guy.
Right. Well, why don't we do this? Why don't we?
You want me to carry the camera?
No. We're good. We can do this. Do we want to do secret sauce here first, and then we can come back, and I can get so that we can get moved over there?
Yeah, I think that'll work, Eric. As long as Eric, if you are ready. It's time for a little bit of sauce.
Hey, folks. Sorry, you know, the plans are different. Things are changing. They're live, but I'll go ahead and go live with the secret sauce. Hey, we got.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, all of us have done shows. We all know what it's like to go live quick. We all know what it's like. So awesome. Let me cue that up and let's go with the secret sauce. All right, folks. So for today's secret sauce, I'm going to be talking about your unique value proposition. And I know you probably heard the term before, and you might think it's a bunch of marketing buzz. What does it mean? Unique value proposition. The truth is that behind those words hides an essential truth about what we do and why people choose us to do it for them. There must be a reason why a customer chooses to spend their time, money, and trust with us. Sure, we can chalk it up to price. We can start discounting, race to the bottom, but we all know where that ends up. In a world where commoditized price competitions leaves us constantly trying to cut our own throats and each other's throats to get down to that low price. For a group of highly creative people like decorators, it's amazing how much we can find ourselves unable to think beyond that model. But the truth is, people buy emotionally, they perceive value in ways we might not initially understand, and value is more than just a function of markup. And I want to talk about what value is for a second in order to get to this concept of this value proposition. I mean, we feel comfortable talking about value when it's measurable. When we add more input, more stitches, more labor, more prints, locations, or a higher dollar blank, we feel comfortable. When we do more, when our product costs more, when there is more than one area of decoration, we understand that value. Even when there's a lower price, we feel like we can show that value. It's easy for us to sell. The more uncomfortable kind of value is that customers can perceive a different value for any item. Whether it's a sense of scarcity, limited runs, association with other valuable items or brands, desirable context, being sold in a place in context where it is more valuable. Think about the concert tee and how much we talk about, though we are printers and know what these things cost, we still pay for event merch. Or even just because somebody they love and trust or somebody they follow, an influencer, said something was more valuable, people may chalk that up and really believe the product's more valuable. So it's more than just cost and markup can explain. After all, a trading card is a printed slab of cardstock, inherently cheap, but the right one can be worth a fortune. Our work is similar, though we luckily have a number of ways we can improve our value for the right crowd. Our value proposition, it's all about what working with us can do to improve both that measurable utility, the stuff that we're comfortable with, and that less measurable enjoyment, the associations that our work can create for our customer. Our unique value proposition, what makes us as decorators uniquely capable to provide, our backgrounds, our abilities, even sometimes our temperaments, combined with our company culture, the structures we have in place, our abilities and our terms, the way we do business, to bring a solution that other shops might not, even if sometimes it really is just up to personality. Truthfully, every shop has something unique to offer, but we have to ask ourselves the tough questions. Number one, what problems can my work uniquely solve? So can that be our capabilities technically? Yes. Can it also be our creative way of seeing things? That too. It is what we can bring to a problem. So the other question, kind of the other side of that question is, why not something else? Why not something else than what we can do? What about my work delights and surprises? So much about what makes people actually pull the trigger and purchase is that something they've seen brings them a measure of delight. Hey, it is about what we enjoy. And things that delight and surprise are things that are fun for us to share. So what is it about my work, the way I do things, that might be delightful, surprising, bring that good experience, or that the customer has an item they can take and share either with some other viewer of their stuff when it's something promotional, or if they're selling the product, something that they can use to delight and surprise the actual end customer who's buying the product. And once again, the question behind that is, what can we do to make them smile? Evoking an emotional response is part of how we get that extra value. And then lastly, really, this is more about that technical capability and what we can do, our skills, our background, our knowledge. What can my shop, what can I bring to the process that nobody else can? And I know that sounds hard. People would be like, wow, nobody else? But the thing is, we all have a specialty. Yes, it's very likely that there's overlap all over the place. However, there are certain things that when we bring together who we are, what we know, where we come from, and what we are capable of doing, becomes not only a specialty, but something that is very unique to us, especially when we think of the larger stage of marketing where we go into like things like niche marketing that we talk about a lot. If we belong to or understand a niche, that is part of how we make this work. So take time to answer these questions. Really, if you can't answer these questions, you need to start looking for those places where your unique experiences, interests, knowledge base, and skills, along with certainly your equipment and your capabilities, interact to offer a combination that could serve your clients or a new market you haven't yet identified in a unique way. When you find what makes you weird in a good way, lean into it. And that, folks, is my secret sauce.
Here we go.
Now, I was going to remove myself entirely, but I see that we are still setting up. I don't see cameras on the other side. You know, so I'm going to hang out.
That is so funny because I was thinking, okay, is it just going to be me on screen when we come back?
You know, I wasn't going to, I was going to do it to you, but then I just thought, you know, Aaron's
going to push. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, sir.
Yeah. Can you guys hear me there? Yep. Cool. Yep. Yeah, all right. So, okay, we're gonna put on this other camera here, and we're gonna actually show you. So we're in a bonus time. I know it, but this is gonna be worth it here. Yeah. So
the other camera is on.
We're gonna actually do this. All right. Here we go.
Oh, right on. Let's go live. So for your audio listeners, you are laser.
This is the laser cutting out the pattern for us. So that's the body of the garment. So you can see it's going through and actually cutting that out for us.
So yeah, listeners, we are looking at an XY gantry with a laser on it that is actively cutting out a printed panel. So really cool stuff. If you aren't watching the video content, you need to be here. Check it out.
So we're going to show you what happens there.
All right. Live peeling out that actual panel. Edge to edge printing.
There comes the panel. So that's okay. So they're walking here. Don't
walk with me. Walk with me.
And then we'll walk over and we'll get the shirt that we had made.
We're having a hard time hearing you guys, so I apologize. But
yeah, if we're interrupting you, it's on purpose. So that's a finished manufactured garment, like we were talking about in the maxi press. Not related to what we were just showing as far as the cut, but just wanted to show you guys in the maxi what a laid out was.
Yep.
And now he's actually, Rob's going to walk on over to Beata now. Beata is the seamstress that's knocked out the shirt that we had designed for Aaron, unbeknownst to Aaron, before he got here, which I'm sure Terry will be jumping up and down, and Eric will probably want one as well. And I'll go over there and grab it from her and hold it up.
All right. So just a little bonus at the end here, you guys, to actually see it in action. I know that we we're bound to have challenges, but the sewing is happening as we speak. This is all live, by the way, everybody. So Rob, what was that seam called again? Cover stitch. There you go. So there it is. There's the two regular guys shirt, and wow, it's pretty freaking cool. Holy cow.
Yeah. For our podcast listeners,
I will be wearing that at the next show. And I love the fact
that logo.
Yep. And here's the cool part about here's the cool part about a sublimation shirt is there's no hand to it. You don't feel any ink on it. So, that's pretty cool. So,
sublimation, so it's there forever. It's never going to wash out. It's going to be there as long as it's a shirt, and Beata makes a really good shirt, so it'll be there for a real long time.
All right, you guys, well, that's here. If you guys want to go check it out, I'm going to put the links in the comments here. Maybe internet's starting to slow down a little bit on us on this side, so
no, we've got links here for AmericanPrintOnDemand.com. So, guys, go check that out.
It's like the Rick Astley. Okay. Sublimation is like Rick Astley. Never going to fade. Never going to give you up. Never going to let you down.
You did not just Rickroll all of us, man. Come on. Foul, my man.
All right.
You have to love the cut and sew. I mean,
and then
really,
if you need transfers, transferdepot.com is where you can go.
Very cool. I understand why. So, yeah. And the quality, as you said, immaculate. So lovely to see that.
Yeah. We went mobile, and I don't know if we're losing power on the laptop or what. If we're interrupting you guys, apologize if that's the case.
Nope. We're just filling in the empty spaces. It's all good.
That's very cool. And yes, I do want one. I'm very offended, John, that you didn't make one for myself and Eric. Eric could say E-Rich right there.
Oh, on the left chest. That's fine. You don't have to.
All right. Well, I don't know if Eric, Aaron is coming back to us there.
Here we go.
He's holding up his shirt for our podcast listeners. Okay.
Oh, Aaron's going to get dressed up now.
He's actually putting it on.
That's pretty great. Yeah,
fits. Look at it. Fits him. Everything. Oh, nailed on. I knew it was 3X. No, I'm just kidding. It's not. It's a 2X. It's a small.
It's a small.
It's like Ryan Moore. Medium.
No. Only I need the full tent treatment. I don't know what calendaring press you've got over there, but you'll need two of them.
All right. Hey, guys, we're gonna get out of here and let you guys wrap up the show. Thank you guys so much for allowing us to do this and plan along. And Sean, thank you so much for all the wonderful information. So make sure you reach out to Sean and check out those links, American Print On Demand, Transfer Depot, and what's the third link?
American Print and Supply.
American Print and Supply. So.
And we will have those links in the show notes for you guys later, as well as in the chat. So check those out.
All right. I think everybody knows where we're going to be. We're kind of way down the road on our time here. So we're at the close of another show. Thanks so much, Eric, for last minute juggling. And we did a lot of pre-planning for this. I believe Aaron said to us, we'll play it by ear. So good on you, my friend.
Hey, we did what we could. I know it wasn't perfect, folks, but sometimes we just got to jump into it. And the cool thing was we got to see a lot of that equipment. We all know from shop tours and from being out there at the show floor, everybody loves to see equipment running. So that was cool. And on top of it, as we saw earlier, we had some comments. Like David said, it's hard to find someone that knows more than Sean Stewart with this stuff. Fantastic resource. I can't agree more. Sean really did a great job, not only giving us kind of the history, but showing us what was available out there and kind of how everything runs for the people who are curious. So fantastic show.
All right. So next week, we're still working on putting a show together, but we will certainly keep you guys updated. So until then, Aaron Montgomery is out there in East Peoria, Illinois. I'm Terry Combs. He's Eric Campbell.
And that was the Two Regular Guys.
Here we go. We're out.
Awesome.
Thank you for listening to Two Regular Guys. Check out our website at tworegularguys.com. That's the number 2regularguys.com. You can also interact with us over at our Facebook page, facebook.com/tworegularguys, or send us a tweet, twitter.com/tworegularguys. And we have a YouTube page. You can find all that from our website, tworegularguys.com. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to spending some time with you again next week.